الحمد لله رب العالمين نستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به عز وجل ولا نكفره وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Praise be to Allah, the guardian evolver, the cherisher, the sustainer of all the world. We put our faith, complete trust in Him. We ask Him for forgiveness for our sins, for our faults. And we do not break from Him. We remain in the faith. And I bear witness that nothing deserves worship except the one Lord, the one Creator. There is nothing equal to Him. And I bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed as guidance and a mercy to all the people, is His servant and His messenger. Allah Most High gives us only what is good. He is the Lord, the Creator of everything, and He intends only good for us. He does not intend any harm come to any creature. His messenger, Muhammad, peace be on him, also given in Quran, mentioned in Quran, as not being one to wish harm on anyone, or to wish evil to befall any person. Allah orders only what is good. He orders the doing of good by oneself, the doing of good by his relatives. Allah orders us to do good by ourselves and to do good by our relatives and to do good by strangers, to be right in all of our actions, to mean well, to mean good at all times. Allah has not ordered anything except good. He never orders evil. He never orders injuries to be done to anybody. He never orders any wrong. He orders only what is good. And He gives us only what is good. Allah says Most High in the Quran that whatever you have suffered of evil, it is you that has brought it. And what you have benefited from of good, it is Allah that has brought it. Again, telling us that Allah has designed His creation to give good to His creatures, to aid His creatures, to help His creatures, to give the good benefits to His creatures, that His purpose has not been to harm any creature. And even the hardship that He invites us to, He tells us that the hardship is intended for our own good, that it is with difficulty that comes ease. Inna ma'a al-usri yusra. It is with difficulty that ease comes. It is with struggle that we improve our lives. So whatever hardship Allah has prescribed for us, He has prescribed it not that He enjoy seeing us struggle, that He enjoy seeing us burden. It is not His intention or His desire to burden us. He does not like to see us burdened. But He says also that the man is created in the weak state with a tendency to be weak. He's created with a tendency to be strong, but he also has a tendency to avoid work, to avoid the challenge, to take the easy route rather than take the more difficult route that will be more rewarding for him and society. So we know Allah has shown us these things, and whatever difficulty he has brought us into, he has brought us into that we may improve upon our lives, that we may become stronger, and with strength then comes a more comfortable existence. For the weak, there is not much comfort. The weak are in misery. The weak cannot enjoy much comfort. The strong, they enjoy comfort. The strong enjoy the comfort. But we have to do that by accepting the struggle against those things that are harmful to the good life of the society. Allah orders only the doing of good by oneself, by one's relatives, and even by the stranger. Allah Most High says in Quran that they say, meaning certain people, that they say, we have no obligation to respect the law of justice in our dealing with the non-Muslims, the people that are not of faith. And Allah condemns them in the Quran for that. Whether you're dealing with a non-Muslim or not, whether you're dealing with a person of faith or not, Muslims are obligated to be right. They're obligated to be just in their dealing. We cannot take advantage of people because they're not Muslims. We cannot say, oh, I'm going to give this brother this commodity, he's a Muslim, I'm going to give him this commodity, and I'm going to give it to him for $5. Here comes a non-Muslim, I'm going to make $10 on it. That's not justice. And Allah does not accept that we do that. If you want to give charity, give charity. But whatever rules are on business, we have to accept those rules and apply them on Muslims and non-Muslims alike. Whatever rules are on society, we have to abide by those rules. If they are just rules that Allah has himself sanctioned, then we must abide by those rules of society, and we must treat Muslims and non-Muslims alike with respect to the application of those rules with respect to justice. Praise be to Allah, who says in Quran, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, concerning the hour, surely the human being is in a state of loss. لَفِي خُسْرٍ is in a state of loss. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those who have faith, who believe. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do righteous deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they promote the truth. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they promote perseverance, steadfastness, patience. Dear beloved Muslims, with these precious words of Allah Most High, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, glorified and highly praised is He, we have a very easy formula to recall or to remember for success. That is, that we should be men and women of faith. We should have faith in Allah. We should have faith in His messengers, His prophets, and in their books that they brought. We should be Muslims of faith. We should have faith in the promise of Allah, the resurrection. We should have faith in His ordinance that rewards and punishes. We should have faith, and we should be doers of good deeds. In other words, we should be workers, not just have faith and no work. We must be workers also, and our work must be the works of people of faith, must be righteous work. And then we must realize that this temporary life of ours is just a fleeting moment in time, and that we have to look forward to the long-range goals and objectives. and do something worthwhile, not for the fleeting moment, but for the long-term life. So we have to promote patience, endurance. But first, we have to be truthful. We have to be sound-minded. We have to be people of good sense. We have to be intelligent. We have to practice intelligence. We have to make our whole life conform to intelligence. No part of our life should violate good intelligence. Whatever we are doing in our life, it should reflect intelligence. And we should not be foolish people giving ourselves to superstition, groundless superstition, empty imagination, a life of fantasy, a life of dreams. We will not be successful if we do that. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And they cooperate with each other for the mutual advancement of truth. That's what they give themselves to. They're busy applying themselves to advance truth, not superstition, not fantasy, not the joke life. Truth, reality. And they cooperate with each other for the mutual advancement of patience. We know that once we get our senses together and we decide that we're going to really follow a sound course, opposition comes. People leave you alone when you're wasting your life. But when you decide to get your life together in a sensible and intelligent way, then you find opposition coming from all sides. So what do you need in order to keep that struggle, to keep that direction toward what is right, toward what is sensible and intelligent, toward the truth? What do you need? You need the ability to endure, to not to be taken off your track, not to be taken off your course by criticism that will come. The most criticized person in the Bible is who? Jesus. The most disliked person in the Bible is who? Jesus. The most persecuted person in the Bible is who? Jesus. The most mocked person in the Bible is who? Jesus. And it was no different in the time of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be on them. He was the target of their attacks. He was the target of their ridicule. He was the target of their mockery. He was the target of their hate, their envy, their jealousy. He was the target of their ugly criticism. But as long as you waste your life, nobody bothers you. So we must understand that and accept to live an intelligent life and to let that intelligence be displayed in everything we do, even if we meet together for a social, meet together for some music. There's the rule of intelligence that must apply there too. We must not conduct ourselves in such a way to violate sense, good sense, or intelligence. We should never conduct ourselves in such a way that if an intelligent person will come in, sane-minded, sensible-minded person come in and they see us, they say, oh, those are crazy people. Oh, they're behaving, they're stupid. They act like they've lost their senses. No matter what we do, people should see us with our senses. If we understand this then, we can't follow the world. We can't come into their dances and into their songs and into their habits, because they don't live by that rule. They live by the rule, many of them live by the rule, of hang loose, forget your senses, and let everything go. This is against the Muslim way of life. This can't be accepted of a Muslim, that he gives himself to music or to party or to sensational kinds of involvement and let his self Let himself go loose. Let himself go loose. Hang loose. He can't do that. He must also keep himself to form, to the Muslim form, to intelligent form. And you'll find that people who have religion or have principles in their religion like this, and they respect those principles and live by those principles, they are not the people who are wasted. They are the people who are making progress in the world. This is a requirement in our life for getting our life to go forward. This is a requirement in our life. This religion has come as a solution, as an answer to our problem of stagnant life, non-progressive life. And this is an answer for us. So let us accept this religion wholeheartedly and accept it completely. And don't put aside any of the important injunctions or important instructions that Allah has given to us in the Quran or in the Sunnah of the Prophet, peace be on him. We must take them very seriously, because we either want to be able to walk forward and make progress, or we don't care about the state of our life. And if we don't care about the state of our life, then there's no sense to waste time. You're in the grip of Satan. You're in the hell. And you like it there. So why waste the time of people who don't want to be there? But if you want to get out of hell, if you want to get out of the clutches of Satan, then make up your mind you're going to be serious in this religion, that you're not going to take this religion lightly, that you're going to respect what the Quran says with the highest, with the utmost respect, that you are going to seek to know Prophet Muhammad, how he lived and how he demonstrated this religion in his life. You're going to take it serious, because you want to make a success out of your life. This is the way to think. And remember, Allah intends only good for his creatures. Don't turn against Allah and blame him for your misery. Blame Allah for the loss of life in your family, or for the sickness, or for the weakness, or for the failure, or for the rent that's not paid, or for the diseases that came into the household. Don't blame Allah for that. Allah is your answer. Allah is your key for improvement in your life. If you give up faith on him, those things are going to do you in even more. But if you keep faith in Allah, he will make even the worst of circumstances turn out to be a plus in your life, because you will learn from them. You will become stronger by them, and you will do better in the world because you have lived through that and kept your faith in Allah. So dear my beloved people, understand that. And on this day of Jum'ah, let us come here sincerely. Let us come here with honesty in our hearts. Let us come here for Allah. Yes. Nobody should come here to see me. Nobody should come here to see Imam Rashid. You should come here to see the word of Allah. Yes. And we should be about telling you the word of Allah. Yes. We should be about showing you the life of Prophet Muhammad. We should be about showing your religion as it has been revealed in Quran and lived by Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him. And you're supposed to come here to see Allah, to see Allah's way, to see his word, to see his example that he wants in man. And then you are to accept that and go out with renewed spirit to live better this week than you did last week. And if we do that, this community will progress. You will be a positive factor in the neighborhood. Christians will benefit from your religion. If not directly, they'll benefit indirectly from your religion. They'll say, this man is a credit to his neighborhood. This man is a healthy element in his community. This man is a stabilizing force on the block. This man is promoting progress and good morals. So you will be a credit not only to the Muslim, but a credit to the non-Muslims in your neighborhood. And this is what Muslims should do. This is the way they should live. This is the way they should think. And get away from this stuff of taking partners and buddies and forming allegiance on the basis of I like him. We have formed allegiance on the basis of I like Allah, on the basis I like truth, I like his word, on the basis I like this religion, I like a Muslim community, and I form my allegiance on that. I form my allegiance on the basis of progress in Al-Islam. And if I see that you are a hindrance for that, I don't want no allegiance with you. I want allegiance with the one that's going to accept that and be a positive factor for advancing the Muslim life. So don't accept this kind of personality thing that you've been accepting anymore. Get away from that. And let's see that the most important thing in life is sense and guidance that direct good senses. That's the word of Allah and the way of His prophets, peace be on them. Dear beloved Muslims, we pray to Allah that He always guide us in the right path, that He sustain us, that He make our hearts sound, that He give us the faith of the faithful followers of Prophet Muhammad, who accepted great burden in their lives, who exposed the hardships of the worst kind, but never turned back. We pray to Allah that He make us community after that community that followed Prophet Muhammad, of the Ansar and Muhajireen. O Allah, make Muhammad successful and the followers of Muhammad successful, as You did Abraham and the followers of Abraham, and bless Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad, as You did Abraham and the followers of Abraham. Ameen. بسم الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله ونصلي على رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد أيها المسلمون Dear beloved Muslims, with the name Allah, giving Allah the praise and extolling Him on the gift of Prophet Muhammad, His noble and generous messenger, peace and blessings be on him, on his descendants, his companions, all of them, and on us Muslims here and throughout the world. Ameen. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, has said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. None of you are believers until you like or love for your brother what you love for yourself. None of you truly a believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Dear beloved Muslims, this religion does not allow us to be self-promoters against the interests of our brother. We cannot advance at the expense of our brother. We cannot take advantage of our Muslim brother. We cannot use him as a doormat or stepping stone. We cannot advance at his law. Let us understand this religion and know that this religion is for the Muslim. And if it is for you, then be what the religion asks of you. If it's not for you, then you don't belong here. But if it's for you, then be what this religion asks of you. But if this is not what you want, you don't belong here. You are an intruder. Are you lost? You don't know where you're supposed to be going today. But if you're not lost and you're here and you don't like this, then you are an intruder. You are an insulting guest. You have come here to insult us. And you should be ashamed of yourself. But if you're a believer, if you're a good person, you're well-meaning, you came here with an honest heart, and if you want to be a Muslim, then accept this religion and accept all of it. If a doctor prescribes medicine for you, and you take half of the prescription and leave the other half, he's not responsible for you still being sick. So what Allah has prescribed for us, let us accept the whole of it. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, he has exemplified what is the best in the human being for us. So let us understand that and don't accept any inferiority, any stupidity, any destructiveness on our part or in us. Don't accept that. Because anytime you open yourself to accept any amount of wrong or weakness or destruction on your part, then that's an element in you for your destruction. Not that we can be perfect. No, we can't be perfect. But to accept imperfection is to hasten your destruction. Allah has given us a mind, an intelligence, an intent, a moral urge that makes it possible for us to aim for perfection. And I think that's wonderful. That we have been created with an urge to aim for perfection. And we know that that urge in man to aim for perfection is what has been responsible for his great achievements in the world. So never be satisfied with inferiority in yourself, with imperfections in yourself. Never be satisfied to say, oh, I like this wrong, and I don't care what nobody says, I like this wrong. That's the position of a fool. But say, if you can't get rid of it, at least say, this is a wrong in me. I don't like it. Never say, this is a wrong in me, and I don't care what other people say, I like it. That attitude sends you downhill. You'll be with the losers. Praise be to Allah. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, has also said, مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. The Prophet says, peace and blessings be on him, what I have forbid you, stay away from it. And what I have ordered you to do, do as much as you can of it. How beautiful this religion is. Knowing that all of us are not equally equipped. Some of us are older, some are younger, some of us have advantages because of age, some of us have advantages because of youth, some of us are more experienced, we have advantages because of that, some of us are less exposed in the world, we may have advantages or disadvantages because of that less exposure. Some of us are more exposed in the world, we might have advantages or disadvantages because of that greater exposure. So we are not all equal. So the Prophet says, do as much as you can of it. So if everyone tries his best, we'll have the best community. And no one should look at his brother and say, oh, I see you came up shorter than I did, brother. That's not the spirit of the brother who loves for his brother what he loves for himself. Because no one wants to be addressed that way. We should all celebrate the victory of the community. The smallest victory and the major victory. The biggest and the smallest. We celebrate them all because all progress is good for this community. And whereas one person will excel maybe in one respect, and we will see that and think he's the biggest person in the neighborhood, another person may be excelling internally or at home with his family, and maybe if we saw that is in his private life, we'll say he needs to be recognized too, right alongside this person. So let us not be judges. Allah has not given us the intelligence to judge his creatures. We can only live the life of a Muslim, carry out the injunctions of this religion, and trust that Allah will judge us all. And he is the fair judge. He's the fair judge. So what I'm saying is, get away from this tendency to criticize each other. Get away from this tendency to advance self at the expense of another. Get into the spirit of the ummah, into the spirit of community, where everybody is going together, and the smallest man is appreciated like the biggest man. The weakest person is appreciated right along with the greatest person. Because if he in his weakness can stand here and stay in this community and give support to this movement, to this jihad, then he is a giant. Because there are others out there with more wealth than he, with more health than he, with more muscles than he, with more knowledge than he, but they are too weak to come in here and support the cause of Allah. So if he's in here supporting the cause of Allah, if he's a force in here for progress, we don't care how small he is or how small his contribution, we celebrate him. Everybody here is a great person. Allahu Akbar. And believe me, I know I rail the hell out of you sometimes. But believe me, I do that because I value the weakest man among us. And I hope that maybe railing him will make him stronger. And if I see that railing him has not made him stronger, I come with the salve. And I butter him. I put the salve on his burning spot. We have to do whatever we can to advance life. Praise be to Allah. Dear beloved Muslim, the Prophet said, go on to say, it was only their excessive questioning and their disagreeing with their Prophet that destroyed those who were before you. If people form a community life and accept leadership to move forward, then they should not view that leadership as their enemy. That leadership is their best friend. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be on him, he is the best friend to the believers. Allah, number one. Among mortals, Prophet Muhammad, number one. Number one best friend of humanity, the believers, and humanity at large, if we understand it. So never regard your leader as your enemy. Your leader is not your enemy. Your leader is your best friend. If he's a true leader, he's your best friend. But regard those people who are working against the progress of the leadership as your enemy. And regard those people who are putting weight on the movement of the program. Regard them as your enemies. They're your enemies. They're trying to overburden the program. They're trying to stagnate the program. They're trying to thwart progress, block the progress. They're trying to overburden the productive effort so that they don't be productive. Those are the people you should regard as enemies. They are truly your enemies. Don't regard the leader as your enemy. His effort is to unite us. But regard those whose effort is to keep us divided against each other. Regard them as your enemy. They are indeed the enemy. Those who want us to take sides, take favorites, those who want us to have favorites among the imams, those who want us to have favorites among the staff people, and favorites even in the associates we have, those are indeed our enemies. So regard them as your enemies. They are your enemies. The imam is not your enemy. The imam is here to pull everybody together.
And he even tolerates the enemy. He doesn't throw the enemy out. Many times he knows the enemy by name and by color and by face. But he won't throw the enemy out because he hopes that Allah will even reward the enemy and cause him to repent and become a right-minded person. That's his hope. Don't regard them, the leader ever as the enemy. Some of us slip into that. Oh, the imam said this. He hurts my feelings. Oh, I can't recall the time that how many times my mother hurt my feelings. But I love her so much, I would die the worst death defending her life. So don't say, oh, he hurt my feelings. I don't like him anymore. It is your friend that will hurt your feelings. Your enemy want to keep you feeling good at your expense. So understand that, dear people, and love Allah first, and love His Messenger first, and then love each other, because He has ordered us also to love each other. Praise be to Allah. Dear beloved Muslim, we have a challenge. And the challenge is to deal with the matters at hand. We have a long-range objective, but don't forget between us and that destiny are things to do. So we keep our sight on the destiny, but we also deal with the matters at hand. This is what Prophet Muhammad has demonstrated to the Muslims in his life. This is what Allah teaches us with the Quran, that the Muslim is to deal with the matters at hand. Prophet Muhammad has said, if you go into the evening, don't start looking to the morning. And if you go into the morning, don't start looking into the evening. This is symbolic, but nevertheless, very valuable in its plain words. That if someone comes into the evening part of the day and then he starts looking to the morning, then he's absent-minded regarding the evening. And when the day comes, he starts looking for night. Don't you know there are people like that? Prophet Muhammad has given us great gems of wisdom. There are people, when daytime comes, they start waiting for the sun to go down, instead of dealing with the matter at hand. The matter at hand is daytime. But instead of dealing with the matter at hand, they start looking for night. What am I going to do tonight? And you haven't even did your plan for the day. Then when night comes, instead of dealing with the night, they start saying, well, what am I going to do tomorrow? What about tonight? What are you going to do tonight? Deal with the matter at hand. So Prophet Muhammad has told us that. Now let us look at the symbolic, a symbolic meaning, a hidden meaning. A hidden meaning is this. There are people who, when emotions are raised, when emotional feelings raise up, get high, then they start looking to the time when people will settle down and become more rational. Then there are people who, when the rational comes and the light is on the rational, stress, rational being stressed, they say, oh, I'll be glad when we get a chance to let our hair down. Instead of saying, this rational period challenges me. The day, Allah says in the Quran, has been made for your livelihood, for you to seek the means of your livelihood. The day has been made for work. Is that right? And the night for rest. So there are those who rise up in the day, instead of applying their intelligence, their rational faculties, to see how can they best benefit while the tension is on rational involvement. They will say, oh, I ain't interested in this. I'll be glad when they
bring on the song? When is the music? That's rest, right? That will rest the mind. You don't have to think so much, unless you're a songwriter, composer or something, then maybe you'll be thinking while the song is going on. You'll be trying to see how can you compose a better one or something, or if the music is rightly arranged or something, see? But if you're not that kind of thinking person, you get caught up in the rhythm, into the mood of the music. And it's like sleep, it's like rest. The lights go out, it's nighttime again. So understand that, and don't let us be like that. Surely Allah gives us rest. His night is the best night. Seeking spiritual understanding, seeking spiritual obedience, seeking to conform to the spiritual discipline, seeking the beauty. Because after all, in the night, you're pretty. On a clear night, you see the beautiful stars. That black sky up there looks so pretty. Or blue sky, whatever color it may be showing at that time of night. It looks so pretty with all of its diamonds, the jewel speckles all over it. It's a beautiful thing. So we know that there is a beautiful side of that too, looking toward the evening. When we get into it, we have to deal with it. If we come into the spiritual side of life, let's deal with it. If emotionalism come upon us, or heavy spiritual kind of concerns come upon us, let's deal with it. Let us rise up in and say, look, now we're faced with this. And if there's no guidance in it, we turn to Allah for guidance. We seek Him for the best approach, for the best way of dealing with this heavy, thick atmosphere of spirituality or emotionalism, whatever it is. Let's deal with it. Let's not say, oh, let it pass. Let it run its course. And when the day comes, when they start talking about practical matters, then I'll come into it. No. Whatever period we're in, let us deal with the matter at hand. And if you do this, you'll be successful. Right now, our community, our people, that is, not just Muslim community, but our people, aren't they in darkness? This is their evening. They are moved emotionally. They are moved spiritually. They quickly respond to emotional impulses and to spiritual moods. But they are hard to respond to rational direction. Hard to get them to respond to rational direction. Now, are we going to say, oh, let's wait till they become rational? Then we'll be able to do it. No, go out there now. Let's deal with the matter at hand. This is evening. So let us go out in the evening and make the evening beautiful for Allah. Let us tell them your mood should be the mood of taqwa. Your emotional sensitivities should be the love of Allah and His way. So let us make the evening right. Let us deal with the matter at hand. And for those who are in the day, we have some. They have turned their back on emotional life. They have hardened to moral demands on them, respecting other people and other people's rights. They have become so hard, they are just after the material dollar. Let us deal with that matter too. That's a matter at hand. Let us go to them and say, look, if you would apply that intelligence of yours, if you would apply that brilliant mind of yours to working out a plan for the collective life, instead of being so doggone selfish, man, you can really leave your name on the pages of history. Say, let's deal with the matter at hand. Let's come out of this selfish bag and think people, think community. Yeah, so we have to, in other words, the Muslim, according to Prophet Muhammad, he is obligated to deal with the matter at hand. We don't care whether it's evening or morning. Whatever is the matter at hand, we're going to deal with it. And sometimes you have to bring some light into the evening. You have to say, well, the sun has gone down, buddy, but we have an oil lamp. Say, let's see. Let's have some sight anyway. Yes. Praise be to Allah. Those people with long-range objectives, they are the people who are strong in the world.
Those people who live for the moment, they are the people who are weakest in the world. Preparing for the future, long-term investment. This is the way of the Muslim. Building credits to our name, that we be recorded on the pages of history with the wise and not with the foolish. This is the way of the Muslim. So, dear beloved people, let us... And Allah intends not...
You're not getting cheap message. You're getting the most expensive of the messages. You're getting the highest price truth. And don't take it lightly. Allah has ordered the doing of good by oneself, by one's relatives, neighbors, and also the stranger. And Allah intends not that any evil should befall anybody. Are there any harm or hurt to come upon anybody? Allah intends only that there is good. And he says, what befall you of hurt or evil, it is because of yourselves. Maybe not you personally. Maybe there have been many involved in it. Don't you know even much of our sicknesses come because we disobey the guidance of God? Those learned people in medicine, they are saying that many of the defects, many of the deformities that we are experiencing nowadays in the birth defects, that they come because of the ignorant way that the people, the adults, are living. So let us understand that and give ourselves to the guidance of God. We pray Allah that He always keep our feet firm, that He establish us on the position of truth, that He make us courageous as followers of Prophet Muhammad, and that He give us the strength to support good leadership, that He make us firm, loyal followers of our Imam, Wahiduddin Muhammad, and that He help the Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad keep his heart clean, keep his mind straight, and give him direction from Quran and from the Sunnah of the Prophet, and that He make of this community an excellent community that is a credit to the great work of the Prophet and his companions. Ameen.
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى أما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في سبيل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. سبحان الله.
سبحان الله.
سبحان الله.
سبحان الله.
سبحان الله.
سبحان الله.
سبحان الله. يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إثرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا. ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به، واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا، أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. الفاتحة.
Assalamu alaikum. May Allah accept our prayers. Let me have a word, just a quick word with you before leaving. Now, you know, Muslims, we're told in Quran, and you saw it on the circular, perhaps if you saw one of the circles, in the chapter called Jummah, we're told, as when the call to Jummah has come, leave off business and traffic, that it is best for us if we only knew. Allah calls us to that. Now, we know the circumstances for many people here. Inshallah, as the community grow, we will work ourselves out of these circumstances. But you who are free to come to Jummah, you should do it. Make an extra effort. And you who can get your bosses to allow you to come to Jummah, then do that. But don't be silly like some of us. We go and we mess up a good job, and then we fall at the mercy of the community, on the society. And many of us lose our wives and lose respect at home because we killed almost a lifetime effort to establish ourselves. So use good judgment. Pray to Allah, forgive us for our shortcomings. We all can't regulate our lives on Muslim lines right now because we live in a non-Muslim system. So we have to understand that. But you who can, you should be present. And believe me, this attendance here today is as good as we see in most of the best Muslim lands throughout the world. If you go to their masjids, you don't see any better attendance than you see here. And they have the power to excuse the worker. In fact, they tell the worker, go to prayer, go to Jummah. So Allah is blessing us here in spite of these circumstances. Also, I would like to say to you that while we are to stop the business and the traffic, Allah says that when you have finished, then go back to the business. Go back to making income. So understand that income is very important in our life. We stop it for Allah's sake, but Allah also says when you have finished your prayer, go back to the traffic, to making business, to making money. So let's be productive. And tomorrow, inshallah, we hope we'll see you, as many of you as possible tomorrow, Sunday. We hope to see as many as possible Sunday. Inshallah, we will continue the job of bringing the message of true life and progressive life to the have-nots. And we have plenty of have-nots here around the masjid, plenty of have-nots here in Harlem. So we want to bring the Islamic cure for the have-nots. So see you Sunday, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Brothers and sisters, hold it just 1 second, will you please? The imam wants, we don't want to crowd up there. He needs to walk through here. Will you please hold it up just a moment, please, before you go? We have a couple of announcements that's very important, and we'd like for you to get these announcements. As you know, brothers, how many of you are here today who've not been here before on Friday in a long time? Hold up your hand. How many of you have not heard the imam speak before? Hold up your hand. You never heard the imam speak before? Alhamdulillah. Well, the imam is speaking. Those of you who want to take shahada, please come up afterwards. Can you hear what I'm saying? Assalamu alaikum. All right, brothers and sisters, before you go, you realize that we have zakat that must be taken care of. I know that many of you understand the importance of making our contribution. Please let me have your attention, please. Brothers, hold your talk down. Hold your talk down, please. Please. Takbir. 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 Please hold your talk down, please. If you have to leave, leave very quietly, but please hold your talk down. Don't talk. Brothers and sisters, you know that for the Imam to be here for this extended period of time, which we pray Allah that he stays with us for all time, we realize the importance of his being here and what it takes. You see with the Imam all the time, you see brothers with the Imam, you see us doing other things that we have to do to make sure that he's accommodated and that we as the community make sure that that accommodation is met. You see, these things have to be done by the community. That means that that's additional resources, or we should extend to extend ourselves in the proper way when we give zakat. So we'd like all of you to realize the importance. Let's show the Imam that we appreciate him being here. We need his presence. We need him here. Is that right? We want him here. Is that right? But when he comes, he's always bringing something to us. It is only right as Islamic to love for our brother what we love for ourselves. And it's important that we make his stay here a comfortable one, an effective one. That means that we have to do the things that necessary. We have to give money. We have to give cash. So when you come up to the donation table, put a line on there. Say Imam's visit on there. So that we'll be able to do what is necessary to show him that we appreciate him. I'm going to do it. And I expect for every one of you to do it. Let us make the kind of contributions that are necessary to not only accommodate the most important of all the dignitaries we ever can ever have in Islam is our Imam. Is that right? The most important man to this community is our Imam. Is that right? Now, when we ask for us to do our duty, if we did our duty, just do our duty, we'd be able to do whatever we have to do. But as a rule, we're not always up to par to do our duty. So those who can do as much as you can, more than you can in some cases. Those who can't, strive to do better, but all of us got to do something in order to make our community go forward. So let us make an effort in that way, because it's the pillar of al-Islam, it's good for us, and all that we do is recorded, and Allah will bless us all. Please make the contribution. Now I'm going to read some announcements, and I want you to try to listen as closely as possible, because we know everybody has to run, but please try to listen. What we're going to do, and we're in the process of starting an advisory board for the handling of all the affairs and advice to the masjid in Malcolm Shabazz Masjid. Those of you who want to participate, we have a form for you to fill out, and please get one today, tomorrow, by Sunday at the latest. We need your participation. We want people who want to perform actively into our masjids. We want people to perform actively in our masjids. We want you to participate in our functions. We want you to be able to govern what we have to govern. So please, please make it a point to pick up a form. All right. In addition to that, the Imam has already spoken here Sunday, spoken to you about Sunday. He will be speaking here. Now it's important that we have some leaflets and some flyers that are in the back. We're asking every believer to invite someone to be here Sunday. We should have standing room out in the street come Sunday. Is that right? If we go after them. How many were here last Sunday? So you heard the address of the Imam. Is that right? You know that we respect everything that he says, and we want to do exactly what is necessary. We have to be reminded of our duty. And I believe that we have the substance, the spirit, and the goodwill to make things the way they should be. What I'm saying is, how many of you intend to plan to bring someone with you come Sunday? Is what I'm saying. That's the point I'm trying to get to.